Today's first episode is all about AI, and all we want to share with you is marketing, utilizing AI in the health and wellness space.
Today, we'll be getting into setting up the basics so you feel confident utilizing AI, how to prompt safely and like a pro, and how to train your AI so it sounds and acts just like you. Let's get into it.
Welcome to today's episode. We are so excited to finally bring our podcast to you. Welcome to AmeriLife Marketing Mentors podcast. We are all about teaching agents, advisors, teaching principals at FMOs, marketers at FMOs, everybody out there in the health and wealth space. We're here to teach you how to do marketing and make it easy and digestible. We're talking very simple tactics. We want to teach you absolutely everything that we know, how to do it. And then that way, if you ever get to the point where it kind of feels overwhelming, we're here for you. So all you have to do is come to us and we can help you along the way. I'm Joe Barker. I've been at AmeriLife for over 7 years now in the marketing space. Prior to that, I was in the PNC industry. And then I started out actually in marketing in the newspaper industry in 2003. So I've been in this industry for a long time. 2009, I switched over to digital selling for Yahoo Ads. So ton of experience in the marketing avenue. I'm really excited to be able to teach everything that I've learned over the years, especially as we jump into AI here. So I'm going to pass it on over to David.
Oh my gosh, Joe, I am just as excited. It's going to be a great year working with you, sharing our knowledge. As she said, I am David Belleville. I have been a part of AmeriLife since the beginning of 2025 and took a little bit of an untraditional route to get there. I actually came up as a journalist, and so storytelling is really a huge passion of mine and how we can incorporate it into marketing. And through my journalistic career, I got into brand management, which really opened the door into marketing. And so here we are now talking just that, marketing in 2026. And Joe, it's really hard to talk about marketing these days without first talking about AI. It is involved in every single conversation. So let's jump right into it and set our audience up for success in 2026. If you were going into this year without having utilized AI at all, where's the first place that you would start?
I would probably have it analyze any current marketing pieces that I had out there now. So an example would be is if I have a website up there now, I would utilize AI to help analyze that. And I think an important aspect, people may not realize it, depending on what platform you're using, it really doesn't matter, ChatGPT, Perplexity. There's different ways that you can have it analyze. So an example would be if you have a website, if you put the URL of the website into chat, it's actually going to read the code. And so depending on what you want done to it, that's how you need to determine, do you want to give it the link so it reads the code, or do you want to do a screenshot of your website? And then that way, all it sees is the actual visual that people are seeing. And then you upload that and you can say, hey, can you take and analyze, act as a website expert or user experience expert, and take a look at my website and tell me your initial reaction. Do you have good CTAs, call to action, sorry. I try not to use the acronyms, but sometimes, but CTAs means call to actions. But are the call to actions on your website, you know, are they good? Are they in correct positions? Are they above the fold? Which means, can they be seen when the person's there? So there's so much you can do. And that's probably where I would start, is start using it to analyze what you already have out there and optimize it. Get it better.
That is such great advice. And you and I both know it's really hard to work around acronyms when we're talking marketing. we'll do our best to stop and pause and explain what we're talking about. But you bring up a lot of great points there, Joe, and that's a fantastic place to get started. Oftentimes, people are hesitant to get started, though, because they're simply overwhelmed by the landscape, how quickly it's changing, and how many tools and platforms are out there. And so, you know, when it comes to taking that first step, auditing what you have out there and utilizing AI to take stock and inventory of what's out there, let's back up a little bit. How do you look at AI as not a threat? And so in other words, how do you use AI to your advantage without getting overwhelmed by it?
You know, I always forget that there's still agents or just anybody that doesn't utilize AI still. So I was at a conference not long ago, and there was probably about four people who said they've never once utilized it. Mm. And they even shared that it's scary to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of just that initial hurdle is just getting past the scary part and utilizing it in ways that just make you feel kind of at ease. So an example of that would be just coming up with ideas. So it's right. not exactly asking it to write anything for you. It's more of utilizing it just to brainstorm and come up with ideas and give you inspiration towards things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think AI is never going to replace us. The fact is I think as people begin utilizing AI more and more, the consumer and the average person, their trust factor is going to greatly skyrocket. So they're going to have a lot of trust issues. And that is where the human and the agent or advisor is going to come into play even more, is that, you know, where there's so many trust issues, they want that human behind the scenes that's like, no, you know, these are your options. And it's breaking it down for them and it's giving them compassion and it's really tailoring to the person. AI can't do that.
Right.
AI can only give you the facts and it can only analyze things. It can't be there to provide that human interaction that we Absolutely. Provide. So I don't think anybody should ever fear it. It's just trying to find out during the day. I call it the grunt work. Like, what's that grunt work that I don't want to deal with? And that's where I look at AI. And I'll give you an example. So a perfect example is we had a webinar not long ago. And with that webinar, I wanted to understand the data. So how many people registered? How quick did they register compared to past webinars? And all you have to do is take your registration list from your last webinar and your webinar prior, upload it into there. Don't give it names or mm-hmm. anything. Just upload it with the dates and let it analyze and let it feed back to you what it finds. I mean, it's amazing at that. And it will tell you, hey, you're 6 registrants down in the first week than compared to your last webinar.
Yeah.
And then you know, okay, maybe I need to ramp something up or maybe it's the messaging and it Sure. can really help guide you.
And that's simply, in the most basic terms, what AI is there to do is to help guide you. It's a productivity booster. McKinsey actually reported that AI can boost productivity up to 40% when paired with human oversight. And that last part I want to make sure is heard, is that you're using AI as a tool, and it's important that you have oversight over that tool. You wouldn't just, you know, start your lawnmower and hope that it cuts your front lawn. Like, you have to keep it moving. And so looking at AI as a companion or somebody, a tool that you can use to enhance your productivity, enhance your efficiency so that you can spend time doing what matters to grow your business, like selling or warming relationships with your leads, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that where most people get stopped before they even start is that they feel that they need to use AI to build an entire marketing campaign or their entire brand, or that they need to overhaul everything just because AI is now available to us. And it simply doesn't have to be that massive. It can just be a partner to get you through your day, to get you through that grunt work. And then the more and more you use it, the more and more you'll see the opportunity that AI can provide you in your business, as opposed to looking at it like a threat. And so, Joe, you utilize almost every single AI tool out there.
I love AI.
You're one of the best utilizers of AI that I personally know. So was there a moment when you first started using these AI platforms where it really clicked to you and you started to view it more as a partner than as a threat?
Yeah, I think it got to a point where I would find myself manually doing something
mm-hmm.
and I'd be working on it for like 20, 30 minutes and I would literally stop and be like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I not utilizing AI? And I think that's when my behavior really started to shift, is I had it set in my mind that I was utilizing it for just certain tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up with ideas, using it for content, analyzing some data, and then I would catch myself later. I would realize as I was doing something like, hey, there's an opportunity here. I could be pulling in AI to help me with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a real turning point for me. But it really did start slow. And I think that's the way it should happen. I think I think you kind of have to get to know the AI and get to understand it. And as you start utilizing, you're going to have things that frustrate you.
Sure.
So you'll start to realize and you're going to be like, man, you should know better than that. Don't give me that. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like your expectations of AI go up, and then you kind of have to come back to reality of sure. what it is and realize it's not perfect. And it has hallucinations. It gives you bad responses sometimes. I think it was you and I who were talking on our webinar. And yeah. we brought up that article of somebody that copied and pasted. You brought it up about the, what was that, the New York Times?
I think it was a local paper somewhere somewhere out there. We'll be sure to pull up the example and drop a link into the description here. But essentially on the front page of this newspaper, an entire news story was just copy and pasted from ChatGPT or one of the other tools out there. And it was easily identified because if you do use ChatGPT, oftentimes they'll keep the conversation going with, you know, hey, do you want me to add this to the end of the script or add this to the end of the news story? And that three question prompt at the end was also included on the front page of this newspaper. And so, Joe, that really gets into, again, that human oversight.
Absolutely.
This is not something that's here to replace us. It's just here to make us more efficient. And then you touched on it again. There are limitations to AI, and there are responses that you're not going to be able to lean on and use. And we'll mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about how to prompt in a way that gets you accurate information. But at the end of the day, you're always going to have to do a little bit of legwork. You're going to have to fact check. You can't take the prompts or the responses that you get as final. And so we'll get into a little bit about how to trust the responses that you do get. But before we get there, let's just talk about how to set things up. Let's just cover the basics so we can move on and get a little bit more specific. But let's say we open ChatGPT and we're staring at a blank screen. Are there any specific settings that you would recommend that our audience starts with just to get started?
Yeah, I would definitely, on any of the programs, I would go into the settings and I would set it up. There's places that you can give it custom instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go in there and you can kind of give it basically how you want it to give the responses. If you're unsure how to do that, you can start out by just starting a chat and asking chat or asking the AI to act as a AI expert and to help you build those settings. So you can actually use AI to help build your settings. Mm-hmm. And you can say, I need you to act as an expert and I'm trying to set my Perplexity or ChatGPT settings and I need your help with the custom instructions. Please ask me questions one at a time until we feel like we have a response that is good enough to put into the settings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things to think about, and you can always go back and edit it. So think about things like, obviously you're gonna want to put your tone in there. You may want it to interview you and then you use your voice to respond. So then that way it actually starts to pick up the way that you actually speak. And then maybe you decide, so I know for when I utilize AI, especially if I utilize it for my LinkedIn, I like real short scrollable responses.
Mm.
And it's something I had to train my AI to do for me. And so I would go in there and I would realize like, wow, this is giving me a book and a half on a response. I don't
right.
need that. I only want like 300 characters. Let's bring it back here. And then I started to realize, well, I'll just tell it that. And so I started telling AI like, hey, these are great responses, but give it to me in 300 characters
sure.
or less, or give it to me in 5 sentences or less. So I think the more you get familiar with it, the more you realize it, then you can customize it to exactly what you like and your style. And that's when it just gets so good because it's less editing time and it's more where you can look at it, you can review it, and it's a few edits and it just gets things going even faster.
And when you find that groove, when you kind of establish the cadence and the response length and really find a rhythm with your AI, it then becomes kind of like a well-oiled back and forth where mm-hmm. you can just carry on a conversation that feels pretty natural because of the time that you spent, you know, setting up those basics and training your AI. And so what you'll notice is the more and more you use it and the more you take those initial steps to train your AI and help it get to know you and vice versa, you'll start to want to have more and more conversations. However, just like an inbox, those conversations can get cluttered
mm-hmm.
depending on the platform you're using. And so one really important best practice to keep in mind, especially if you're utilizing AI for your business, is to try to keep your conversations organized. And so oftentimes, most platforms will categorize your conversations off to the left on a left-hand sidebar. And from there, you can create threads and you can organize these conversations by topics. So if you're generating email subject lines, mm-hmm. then you can keep an entire thread with just your email subject lines. And so another really basic best practice to help get started is just keeping those conversations organized, because you'll be surprised how quickly all of your conversations can start piling on top of each other. And then when you need that golden nugget that you spent all week last week talking to AI about, it makes it a lot easier to go back and find, mm-hmm. as opposed to sifting through dozens and dozens of conversations.
I know another thing that a lot of people do is they'll get to the perfect prompt, or they'll get to the perfect setting that they like, or whatever the response was that they liked, and they'll copy it and paste it and put it out into a file. So it's like, here's all of the prompts that I've gotten really, really good at. The other piece of advice that I would give if you're utilizing these platforms for the first time is AI can easily get caught up on certain things, and it can kind of start to confuse if you keep refining. So if you go back and hit edit and edit the original response, so say you ask it for something and it gives you something but it's not quite right, instead of responding again and saying, hey, we're almost there, but do this, just go back up to the response before it.
Yeah.
Because then you're keeping it shorter, and you're erasing or not causing any confusion as you can continue that dialogue and you're trying to get it perfect. So I definitely always recommend, if you can, go back up and edit it instead of continuing the conversation. But I 100% agree. You have to stay organized, especially as you continue the conversations when you were speaking about, you know, before you know it, you're going to have hundreds.
Yeah.
So last year, it was early last year, I hit the ChatGPT max number of conversations. I hit the history limit.
Wow.
And I'm a paid, and I'm like, wow, what happens now? And you actually have to delete your history in order to restart it. Now, I don't know if it's fixed it since then. That was early 2025, might have been late 2024 it happened. It was so aggravating though, and I'm like, I just lost all that work for the last year. So hopefully they've changed that. I don't know if they have or not, but it definitely, you become reliant on it, and my chat knows more about me than I would ever want anybody else to know.
you do often refer to chat as your best friend.
It is my best friend.
And that the proof is right there. I mean, Joe, you have been using AI to your advantage for well over a year now, and so you're really primed for success heading into 2026. But we also know that it makes sense for our space to stay on top of AI trends, to stay on top of best practices, and that's why we're here. So you don't have to, and we can help you guys get to the point of chat telling you, hey, you've got too many conversations here, because you really will find that just one thing leads to another, and it can be really easy to fall down some rabbit holes too. So do your best to keep things organized so you can easily find and go back and refer to things, because you will want to. But let's keep things moving, Joe. We've kind of touched on this a little bit, but we've said it time and time again. You cannot just put a prompt in and take the response as the Bible. And so there are tools and best practices that you can deploy to make AI generate responses that sound and act like you. So I'm going to toss this back over to you, but I'd like to tee you up with, what is a simple prompt that our audience can use to just get their AI to start listening for how they speak and write?
Well, I think, you know, when you're thinking about prompting overall, make it very basic. So if I was to tell you, say we were having a conversation and I would say, hey, take me to the mall. And that's all I put in it. Hey, give me the directions to the mall. Your first questions back is going to be, well, what mall?
Sure.
What mall do you want to go to? Is there a certain store of the mall you want to go to? Like, there's a ton of questions that come up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about that when you're prompting. So you can't just go in there and say, write me an email. You're going to get the basics of the basics about whatever conversation it decides it wants to give you about. Or it's going to ask you those questions back. So the more thorough you can be, and the better response you're going to get. If you go in there and say, hey, write me an email to my client about Medicare, you're going to get a response. Is it going to be good? Probably not. But if you were to go in there and you were actually to give it, you know, more information and say, like, if it's an email, tell it to act like an email expert.
Mm-hmm.
Act as an email expert. Write an email to my client utilizing my tone, which we'll get into that, but utilizing my tone in the way that I speak, and give it information about turning 65 and make sure we're staying compliant. I want it to sound educational and not salesy. I mean, that's a lot better than just saying, give me an email for a client. So I think the more specific you can get, I think as you get into the tone and you get into really wanting it to sound like you, that's where those initial settings come into play.
Sure.
And that's where when you go in there and if you're unsure how to do it, just ask chat to interview you. It's as simple as saying, act as an AI expert. I would like you to interview me one question at a time. I'm going to respond back via voice with my answers. Keep track of my tone. Keep track of the way I say things, the words that I utilize, and then make sure any future responses, you give it to me utilizing the way that it, so it sounds like I would speak. I think another really important thing to do, and I do this a lot, is I'll have chat run through the most words, the most common words that AI uses in its responses. Oh. And I know we're going to be sharing this in the coming weeks, but I personally, probably like once a quarter, will go in and say, act as an AI expert and go research all of the AI chatbots and tell me the most common words that it utilizes in its responses. And you'll get words like unlocked and like the words that you, like you, I guess they would be in some marketing things, but it's, as soon as you see the list, you're like, oh, I've seen that 10,000 times from you.
Oh yeah.
And I actually put that in as a negative list. So, and I'll put it into my settings and I'll say, use my tone. And then underneath it, I'll say, here are the words to never use. So that way I don't start triggering those AI words.
That is such great advice. So ask AI to interview you. Let AI get the opportunity to get to know you. But also be mindful of the fact that hundreds of thousands of millions of people are doing the same thing. So ensure that you're being specific and that you are generating prompts that will generate the most accurate response for what you're looking for. And then negatively train your AI, if that's the right terminology for it, but ensure that it knows what not to do, what words to stay away from, what behaviors to stay away from. And over time, it will remember those things. But also don't be afraid to get a little stern with your AI. If there is something that it's not doing that you want it to do, ask it to remember the following and then prompt it. Remember how I write this, XYZ. Remember how I say this, XYZ. And it will categorize that as a memory, and it will apply it, for the most part, to all future responses.
I'm actually glad you said that, because in the settings of many of the AIs actually is a setting that says, do you want us to remember or keep a memory? So if you're going to do that, you definitely want to turn that on. The other thing it's going to ask is, do you want to share your information as they collect data? I personally turn that off. I want mine private.
Right.
So I would recommend that too. So I would thoroughly go through the settings and kind of toggle those on and off as you prefer them. I definitely prefer not to share to help them grow their data. I don't like my information out there. And so that's one thing that I would definitely do also. If you're setting up for the very first time, go through all those settings.
That is such a great advice too. I mean, be mindful that what you put out there, I mean, it is still the internet, and it's open AI is a term that you will hear us using. And basically that means when you're putting something into ChatGPT, it's now accessible. Mm-hmm. It's open to other AI to pull from. So make sure that you're reviewing those settings and helping train your AI to get to know you. And once you have those basic settings covered and you feel confident that you and your AI buddy are starting to get to know each other and feel comfortable with each other, you can now start generating responses. And once we get those responses, we need to look over them to ensure, that they're sounding like us and it's written like us. But now we need to ensure accuracy, especially in the health and wealth industries where compliance is paramount, where trust is paramount. And you really have to make sure that the information that you're sharing is both compliant and accurate so that, you know, your audience trusts you. And so let's just spend a little bit of time talking about how we can ensure that the information that we're getting from AI is accurate and that we can publish it. And one tool that I like to utilize is by putting the same prompt into multiple chats. And so I might utilize ChatGPT, Gemini, or Writer or Microsoft Copilot, which are two tools that are used heavily within AmeriLife. And so I'll use all the tools at my disposal to ask a single question or do a single piece of research. And then I can cross-reference what I'm learning, or I'll take a generated response from ChatGPT, and then I'll ask Gemini and Writer to fact check it for me. So that's one tip, but above all else, do your own homework and research as well. Google is still relevant, and make sure that you're using it. Make sure you're citing your sources and that you're not just taking whatever AI throws out at you, because AI could have misunderstood your question. You may have phrased it in a way that could have led to multiple possible answers. And so use AI to fact check AI, but also use your own eyes, use your own brain, and do your own research to make sure that you're also fact checking what the responses are.
Yeah, there's a couple of other things on top of it that you can do if you're worried about compliance. And here's the one thing I would say, which is super important, is AI will never be a compliance officer. AI will never be able to tell you that it is 100% good to use. And it could give you bad information. So one thing that you can try to do is you can go to CMS, or you can go to the any of the like SEC, anywhere where the regulations are listed or the guidelines are listed. Take those. You can either put the link into ChatGPT or whatever AI you're using, and have it actually build out a prompt that is acting as a compliance officer, and ask it to review it based off of the rules from CMS or whatever else it may be. Put it in there, and it's not guaranteed, and you can never say, oh, well, you know, chat told me I could use it, so I used it. It's not going to fly. So it's not guaranteed, but it gives you one more layer. And I think that's really what we want to get to, is we want to put as many layers in there to help us, guide us as we go along. It's pretty good, but no one will ever tell you that chat will be a compliance officer, just like chat can't help pick plans. There's a lot that it can do, but there's also a lot that it can't do, and there's a lot it shouldn't do. And those are the type of things that you should not be relying on it on. Ultimately, when you post it and when you put it out there, you're putting your name on it, which is where it is super vital that you're double checking it to make sure it sounds like you and that you would actually put your name on it.
Yeah, that's so well said. And your clients are depending on you to know what you're talking about and that you're providing the correct information to them so that they feel confident making the right choices as well. So making sure that you're compliant and make sure that you can trust the answers. So fact checking and compliance checking are two huge things that I want to make sure that our audience takes home with them today, because AI can do a lot, but at the end of the day, the buck stops with you.
Yep.
And so if you're going to put your name on something, make sure to fact check. And so we've talked now, Joe, about how to set up AI, how to set it up in a way that you can trust its responses and fact checking. But we've talked about prompting, but we haven't really talked about what makes a great prompt. And so if there was some sort of a formula to follow, or at least one to two things that you think every great prompt should include, what would those be?
Well, I think you definitely have to tell the AI what role it's playing. So if you tell it that it's an email marketing expert, it's gonna naturally pull the information and the education that an email marketing expert would have. So no matter what you're prompting for, always think about like what role you would like it to play. Give it an objective. Don't just say an email. Make sure you tell it, hey, the objective of this email that I'm creating is to get the person to go to this blog or whatever it may be, or to get this person to select whatever the call to action is that you're looking for. I think telling it the tone that you're wanting to come across as, you know, there's going to be certain situations where maybe on social you want to be a little bit more humorous. And then maybe in email or in other scenarios, you want to be more educational and kind of more confident. So I think it's really important to refine that. And then if there are extra things like, hey, I need it, you know, five sentences or less, or I want to keep this direct and to the point, or maybe it's a longer and you're like, hey, I want to optimize this blog for SEO and I need a minimum of 1,000 words. So I think the more specific you can get it, the better. And I think as you begin prompting, you get better and better and better at it. And I think that's one of the things that we're also working towards is helping everybody build those prompts and kind of showing everybody how to do it.
Yeah, the only other thing that I would add to that, Joe, is give AI examples to follow as well. So if you're trying to train your AI to generate emails that sound like you, feed it emails that you have written without the help of AI so it understands your writing style. Or perhaps you're just starting to build your brand and you're taking inspiration from other brands. And, you know, of course, you shouldn't copy, but again, if you're taking inspiration, give that AI the inspiration that you would like to follow, and it will remember that and start to tailor its responses based off of the examples that you've included. And so one more thing I want to add to this, and Joe, you are a professional at this, is use talk to text. you know, unless you're looking for a response that's written like, write this email like me, you taught me this. I have found it incredibly helpful to just always be talking to my AI so that my AI knows how I talk. And it has been incredible in terms of training it to sound just like me, as opposed to relying on the written word where I might be a little bit more formal or buttoned up with how I type. And so just another hot tip that I've learned from the one and only Joe Barker is talk to your AI. You're talking to it all the time.
It's a little ridiculous. So just, I mean, it's quite ridiculous. So I drove to Orlando for 2 hours and that's all I did. I had my Meta glasses. And all I did the entire time was I was preparing something. I don't even remember what it was, but I was preparing a video script, actually. And I think it was a comparison of all the AIs. And I was having it, like, teach me certain things. And at the same time, I was having it refine the script. For 2 hours, that's all I did. And this is, like, really sad, probably. But every night, I walk our Doberman for an hour. And I wear my Meta glasses. And I love it because all I do for an hour is I just talk to my Meta glasses and my AI. And it literally is one of my best friends, but we get so much done just by walking the dog.
Sure.
And people look at me like I'm a little crazy because they don't know who I'm talking to every single day for that long. But no, I absolutely couldn't suggest it more. The more you're going to lean on it, the more you want it trained. And the more that you can give it your voice in the way that you are, the better those responses are going to be because it does get to really know you.
And I would only add to that, too. I don't know if you spent the entire drive just talking about marketing, but, you know, I would encourage our audience to use AI for other things outside of marketing, too. If for nothing else, you'll just continue to gain more familiarity with it and you'll get more comfortable with it. But there is an element to utilizing AI that it's kind of fun. Well, I mean, I love to go down rabbit holes and just learn and teach myself things that I wouldn't even think to ask. And so, one morning recently with a cup of coffee, I was like, Chad, I feel like going down a rabbit hole of a random topic today. And that's what we did. And so, but I also do that so I get more comfortable with my prompting and how I speak to it and recognizing what I may be getting in return. So, have fun with AI too.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, you reminded me, there was a day that I was feeling really overwhelmed. So between work and the 10,000 things that had to happen there. And then I'm a mother of five. So I've got my kids going crazy with sports and everything. And I truly just started to feel overwhelmed with like how much was on my plate. So I actually went to chat. I turned on the voice and I just shared that. And I'm like, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. I've got to somehow get this organized. I know it's manageable, but just need a little bit of help. And it was amazing how it started. And it was just like, all right, tell me what's on your plate and let's get this organized. And let's get this to where you don't feel overwhelmed anymore. By the end of the conversation, I was like, oh, it kind of like just felt like a relief. And I'm like, somebody else is taking this burden off of me right now. And now all I have to do is go through this list it provided me. So it truly was a assistant to me is truly what it acts as.
And that's where we're trying to take this for our audience listening today. If you are heading into this year, a brand new year, and you are really wanting to leverage AI and make it work for you, look at it as an assistant. Look at what is burdening you in life and what is burdening you in business, and find ways to leverage AI to make your life easier and more efficient, whether that be, you know, being a mom of five kids, or, you know, you're working two jobs, or you're building a business from scratch. AI is here to make all of those things easier and can be a benefit to your life. But if you are heading into this year and you haven't started using AI, the time to wait, the time to learn is over. It's time to start applying AI and utilizing it to grow your business. And so, Joe, you know, in our final moments here today, if nothing else, if you wanted our audience to leave with one thing today, what would it be?
I think it's just selecting whatever platform you're comfortable with and just giving it a go. You know, you hear a lot of people who say, I'm just scared of AI. I've never used it. And my first response back to them is, have you ever turned on, you know, like directions on maps and asked it to get you there? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, all right, has it ever redirected you because of traffic? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, you've been using AI the whole time. That's AI doing that. And I think it makes them start to realize that it's been around for so long. And it really is just select that next time that you're doing something and maybe you procrastinate it and you're like, I really don't want to do this. Take that task and put it into AI and just start. And if you have questions, if you need help, that's why we're here. You know, we're here now to help guide and help do that. But that would be the only thing, is you just have to give it a go and just get started.
Well said. I think my biggest takeaway for this conversation too would be to realize that AI is not a replacement for innovation either. Everything that AI is pulling for is information or creatives or designs or plans from what's already been published, what's already out there. And so the key here is to remember, AI is not a replacement for innovation. So make sure that you're still, you know, consulting with your team members, consulting with your agents out in the field, taking stock of what problems are facing you today, and coming up with creative solutions to solve those problems. Do not rely fully on AI. It should be a supplement. But, you know, if you're looking for innovation and if you're looking to create something new, then there's still no better replacement than what's right up here. And so just don't forget that. You are still the catalyst for change and for innovation. AI will just help you get there.
Absolutely. Yep. I completely agree. Just remember that human touch. And keep the human touch on it. That's why we're here. You know, make sure it sounds like you and humanize it, and make sure that you're not just copying and pasting.
And we'll be here every step of the way. But before we go, check the description down below. We do have a great free tool that you can download right now. The 10 AI prompts to be a powerhouse in the health and wealth industries this year. It's made exclusively for 2026. So if you just need that little edge to get started, check out our description below. Joe, this has been fun.
Yes, I know. I look forward to it. First episode done.
And we've got plenty more coming your way. The AmeriLife Marketing Mentors, I'm David Belleville.
And I'm Joe Barker.
We'll see you next time.